Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. We made it. Made it through another week. Get to watch the Brewers extend their season tonight. Well, I don't know how confident I'm feeling about that, but we do get one more Brewers game tonight prior to watching Chelsea tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. And then the Green Bay Packers take on the Arizona Cardinals, late afternoon game down in Arizona. The Packers coming off a victory over the Bengals, which might look, feel just a little better after last night, watching the Bengals whoop up on the Steelers. Old man Flacco throwing it around the yard. Now, it helps to have Ja'Marr Chase, obviously, but might feel a little better about putting away the Bengals two-score win last Sunday in Lambeau. I know I'm asking for a lot here, but the Packers ready to take on the Cardinals, and obviously it's Friday. That means that the injury report is out, brought to you by our friends at ThetaCare. A lot of questionables there, and unfortunately, we've got two new injuries popping up here with Josh Jacobs dealing with a calf injury, though he was a full participant today. He is listed as questionable, and Nate Hobbs dealing with a knee injury that had him limited at practice today. He also is questionable, along with a bunch of other folks. Now, the headlines outside of that is undoubtedly Christian Watson already being declared out. Limited participant each practice this week, but he will not make his debut, and the Packers won't make us wait to find out. They have already declared him out. So no Watson this week. Gotta suspect it'll happen late week, next week, heading into that game in Pittsburgh. Other than that, as we suspected, Devontae Wyatt and Lucas Van Ness both are already out. Interesting that Brandon McManus, questionable, although he has not participated in any practices this week. We will see. I suspect they'll probably keep him down for one more week, but that's just guesswork on my part. Before we get going, let me give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. ThetaCare is a proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. Before the kickoff, huddle up with ThetaCare. With over 60 specialties and care teams across 180 plus locations, they're there to keep your whole team in peak condition, from physicals to wellness checks and everything in between. Make sure you check out ThetaCare.org for more information. But this is a game that Packers, again, much like last week, heading into that game against the Bengals, this is a game the Packers should win. Now, that doesn't mean they will, as we all know. But you look at the matchups and you look at where the Packers have, you know, seemingly started to kind of find their footing, especially on offense. There's little doubt in my mind that even with someone as talented as Trey McBride, and sounds like Marvin Harrison Jr. is a go, I do think the Packers will be able to limit the Cardinals and be able to hopefully finally create a turnover to give the Packers an extra opportunity to put some points on the board and not run away with this one, because I don't see that. But I do think the Packers win this by 3 or 4 points, most likely. But there's little doubt that they have to continue to improve up front. The play of the offensive line will be big, and that includes one Zach Tom, who it does sound like he will go, but this is going to be a big test on the road. This team has looked much better at home up front. Still has a lot to prove in a road environment. Though, with that said, I do think there are going to be plenty of Green Bay Packers fans on hand, including our own Tyler Herrick. Let's go. And Monte Moore. Let's go, boys. Be loud and proud there, carrying the G in Arizona. And I suspect you'll probably be at the pep rally on Saturday night. I want plenty of pictures and tomfoolery from both the pep rally and the game, gentlemen. That's what I'm expecting. What's going on, folks? What's going on with your questions, comments, what have you? We got William starting us off. What's up, man? Those 18 points we gave up to Uncle Joe don't look so bad. Go Pack, go. Truly. I hope every Packers fan kind of took heart and maybe reassessed their feelings around that Bengals game last week after watching a pretty, you know, potent offense. I mean, they put up over 30 points against the Steelers defense that certainly had their problems last night, but they have not had major issues against most opponents. In fact, they've been terrorizing quarterbacks, getting them on the ground. And I know they got to Flacco, I think, one time last night. But for the most part, Flacco did pretty much what he did to Green Bay. Got the ball out of his hands quickly. I think they ran that slant play on the back end with Ja'Marr Chase soloed up about 100 times. I may be exaggerating a little bit, but it felt like it. Carved them up, moved up and down the field, points at will. Kind of feel better about shutting down the Bengals there in the first half and then limiting their scoring in the second half, you know? That's all I'm saying. I agree, William. Grant, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Flacco and Rodgers at a combined age of 82 and combining for 600 yards only proves Parsons' points. All offense, all the time. What are we doing here? I mean, yes and no. Yes, because certainly it is very true that the league is geared towards points, towards offense. They want, you know, touchdowns. They want people tuning in for points and explosive gains, etc. But at the same time, you also have to execute. It's not like it's an automatic thing. Now, you point out the ages of the quarterback. That is experience, right? That is Joe Flacco knowing, okay, they're playing outside leverage. I got this inside slant all day. I'm going to take it. I don't have to drop back and survey the field. I got it right away. That's experience, right? So, they took advantage of things that they're able to kind of take advantage of because they've been in the league so long. It's not necessarily because of the rules themselves, right? But you're also not wrong in the sense that, you know, things are geared towards the offense and you have to play defense a certain way that does lend itself to easier opportunities to score. No question about it. Ed, what's up, man? It would be nice to make a Victory Monday a habit, just saying. Well, yeah, you know, start getting a few in a row. Get another one on Monday. Start rolling a little bit. Get this 1-0 out of the way. I'm with it, man. I'm down it. Joe, what's up, man? Would Packers rather face Murray or Brissett? I don't think there's a preference. And for the record, Murray is listed as questionable going into this game, though it does feel like Brissett will get the call here. I think both present pretty significant challenges, especially if you watched that Colts game last weekend. He did a very good job of maneuvering throughout the passing game and the offense and knowing how to set protections pre-snap and knowing where to go with the ball however the defense would react post-snap. You know, that's a vet, again, talking about a veteran, a guy who's been in the league for quite some time and played in a number of different systems, has seen it pretty much all at this point when it comes to defenses. You know, he's not the electric playmaker or doesn't have the potential for electric playmaking that Murray does. But, you know, he can certainly hurt you with the weapons at his disposal. So I don't doubt for a moment that they've spent the week kind of having to prepare for both. Both present problems, though. I don't know that there's a one you'd rather have. And I know the obvious answer would be Brissett, but like I said, man, he looked very good and very dangerous last week in this offense. So I think they've obviously, this defense, this scheme, Jeff Hafley and crew, faced Murray and Lambeau last year. I thought they did a pretty damn good job of keeping him under wraps. But you never know what might break out and how they might utilize different concepts, whatever, especially with his legs and getting outside the pocket. So, yeah, like I said, the obvious answer feels like Brissett, but I'm not sure that it's, you know, a preference either way because both can hurt you. Michael, what's up, man? What is complimentary football, and what is a good example of it? Excellent question. Phenomenal question, actually. You know, the simplest kind of way of looking at it is one squad doing its job and the other squad kind of adding forward momentum or just momentum in general to the game by doing their job. So I can't really off the top of my head think of an example at this moment from like even the last game, but if you are a defense and you get a stop, right, and you force not even a three and out, but you get a stop and they have to punt and the result of said punt results in pretty decent field position, you as the offense go down and score and now you've put 7 on the board. You have done, that is the beginnings of complementary football, because you've not only taken advantage of the field position, but now you've made the defense's objective and kind of play style different and or easier because you've built a lead. So now they can start to get after the quarterback a little bit more. That's a very, very rudimentary explanation, but it is trying to build off the success of the other units. And I say units plural because it does include special teams. Like if special teams gets you a return to the 40, and then you take advantage of that field position, that's complementary football, you know? And so often you will see instances where one unit does a very good job and then the other unit doesn't pick up their end of the bargain, you know? And then you'll hear that you'll hear coaches all the time, we need to play complementary football, you know? And it's very rare that you go through a whole game where everybody's complimenting everybody, right? But if you can put a number of those instances together, that very, very often leads to victory, you know? Again, that's a very rudimentary explanation, but that is the idea behind it. You want to kind of pick the baton up, you know, and continue the forward momentum in the game to keep putting each other in advantageous situations. That's the hope. That's the dream, really. Jake, how are you, man? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Should the Packers trade Wicks or another wide receiver for O-line or D-line help? Wyatt can come back fast enough. Jake, the fact that they haven't put Wyatt on IR suggests that he'll be back sooner rather than later, right? And no, they shouldn't trade Wicks or anybody else. I would be very shocked if they did. And I know we're coming up on the trade deadline and everybody wants to play GM and that's what everyone talks about, but that is 90% content filler and 10% actual conversations as far as like realistically, oh, hey, we might do this kind of thing. Now, calls get made all the time. Fishing expeditions are very, very popular this time of year. Trying to find something, blah, blah, blah. But to your point, a player for player trade, unless it's a way down the line depth chart dude who just probably needs a new kind of change of scenery, who's never going to play for you, maybe. But Wicks is a valuable component to the offense, especially for a team as banged up at wide receiver as they are. I get like we're close to getting Watson back and hopefully Reed is back soon. And I understand the idea of, well, what's left for Wicks, whatever. Man, what's left for Wicks is if you suffer another spate of injuries, he can step in for you. This is a team that is built to win a Super Bowl this year. And you're not going to do that by trading away talent. Now, I understand also trying to shore up other parts of your roster, right? Like an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman. But we've seen throughout the decades, I'm not going to say throughout the years, throughout the decades, they are much more inclined to keep developing and building up through their own depth, guys that they've had in their program throughout the entirety of the offseason, through the season, etc., rather than take a swing at somebody from outside the building. And I'm not saying it can't happen or won't happen, but I believe that they would go out and swipe somebody from a practice squad or sign a veteran street free agent way more than actually trading a player for a player or trading assets. That would very much surprise me. It just hasn't been how they operate. And again, you want to hold on to the talent you got. You know, that is the idea. Cheese it, Joey. What's up, man? Packers have the number one run defense. What a time. Go Pack, go. Corey and I were talking about that on transplants the other night. It's kind of wild to think about, especially with Wyatt going down 2 games ago, and they're still, what, they only gave up 55 yards against the Bengals. Especially when you look at the Bengals on the ground against the Steelers last night. Holy Toledo. Yeah, I feel good about it. I don't know, man. It's hard for me to get too excited about it when the MO has clearly been, you know, this quick passing game between Dak Prescott and Joe Flacco. That has been an extension of a running game, so teams haven't had to run it that much or, you know, been able to run it that much because they've been trying to catch up. You know, that was kind of the back and forth in Dallas and then clearly the second half against the Bengals. If they have a lead, then they're going to run it more, et cetera, to try and shorten the game and all that. But, hey, man, all that said, that's the ranking. They're number one. I don't hate it. Dustin, what's up, man? Can't wait to be at Lambeau West this weekend. Every Packers at Cardinals game is 60% Packers fans. That's what I've heard. I've been to that stadium, funnily enough, for Super Bowls, but I've never been there for a Packers game. But that's always what I've heard, is that it is not a total takeover, but it is very much pro Packers. And hey man, every bit helps, especially for a team that is not operated as efficiently on the road as they do at home. Every little bit helps, no doubt. Brandy, what's up? How are you? The more I watch Golden, the more I see a Jordy Nelson type player, not in size or speed, but taking advantage of every opportunity earned. Fun times. That's a really good observation, Brandy, especially when you consider how Jordy began his rookie year, and even early on, like his first couple years. To your point, absolutely taking advantage of every opportunity. One thing that Jordy did that, you know, Golden hasn't, is kind of struggled with drops a little bit early on, and that certainly hasn't been the case with Golden. But yeah, I like that idea. The fact that he is young, he's only, what, six games into his career, seemingly growing every week and taking advantage of every single opportunity. I feel that. I like it. Mr. Inglewood, what's up? Complicated fella is the Pack GOAT. What a game. Now, sir, I know I didn't watch Bart Starr out there against the Bengals last night, but Aaron Rodgers did have a phenomenal fucking game. No question about it. His only blemish was that predetermined shot up the left sideline to DK Metcalf that ended up being intercepted. And you think they may have wanted that possession back to maybe score points and then win a one-score game? I don't know, but to your point, man, he was slinging it. The play that he made for what should have been the winning touchdown. Look at old man Rodgers out there. That was good shit. Good shit from the old man, no doubt. Jeff, what's up, man? The 4D chess part is avoiding tendencies. You would like it to be, right? Now, there are just inherent ways of operating on both sides of the ball that guys are going to lean into, no doubt about it. And I know it's not the same, right? But even playing Madden online, if you have a group that you play with regularly, what you just talked about is the kind of next level where you know what this dude loves to do on third down, especially third down if he sees man coverage, especially third and short if he can get a rub route, blah, 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 right? You know what to call. You know how to counter that. So now the next step is, how do I get them thinking that? And to your point, go against my tendency, right? That's what I love about playing people online. And what I loved about playing my buddy Travis when I was in North Carolina, we used to play, back then it was Dreamcast, but like we played obsessively. And when you play someone over and over and over again, or if you have access to, like in the NFL, you have access to their tape and you know what they like to do, that's part of the fun, right? That's where it's so kind of deep chess. Like, how do you counter? What do you think I'm going to do? How do I take advantage of what you think I'm going to do, et cetera? Like, that's the part of the game I really, really enjoy. No doubt about it. Jake, who's the best team in the NFL right now? The answer is always the Green Bay Packers. How could you even ask that question? I kid, it's probably the Buccaneers at the moment, but that can change real quick, and it probably will. Ayahuasca, what's going on, man? Love that you called out the way Parsons is being played. Any chance we might see a change in that at some point this season? Hashtag Pappies. Wow. Old school call out. Speaking of call outs, I want to give Jason Wilde a shout out for mentioning myself and Cheesehead TV on the radio this morning, talking about how we, Tyler, put out the cut ups of Parsons. And then I asked Matt about it on Monday when I was still in town. And then Parsons was asked about it and he went off at his locker. Hopefully all this noise, yeah, starts to bleed into the idea that Parsons isn't getting calls. If he even gets one call on Sunday, it will be a pretty significant difference maker. Any offense set back 10 yards against this defensive front is in trouble. And I think that is part of the frustration these last couple games in particular, where you're winning quickly. You're getting mugged, but the quarterback's getting the ball out so quickly that it doesn't get called. But if it had been called, now all of a sudden you're behind the sticks and the defensive front can really pin their ears back, right? So I don't know if it'll make any difference, but God, I hope it does. Because I, as I said earlier, or I think after the game on Sunday, I have throughout the years heard Cowboys fans talk about it. And you know, when it's not your team, you're like, yeah, whatever. But man, it's real and it's ridiculous. So here's hoping. Of course, the official that they have on Sunday, Moore, I believe is the last name. He and his crew lead the NFL in not only all penalties, but holding penalties. So I think it's going to happen regardless on both sides. And that's the other issue. I'm sure the Packers will get a few as well. Porkmaster, how are you, man? Even with no turnovers, I think this is a better spot to be for the defense. I used to pray for a defense to be able to get off the field without turnovers. I might have been monkey pawed, though. Well, here's the thing. To your point, I love the fact that they are number one in limiting explosive plays, because points come out of the passing game. Points follow explosive plays, and they have put an absolute lid on that. That's awesome. Also, these teams, especially the last couple games that want to paper cut them to death, it's all well and good, but you are using a ton of clock, right? And if the Packers, as they did against the Bengals, have a two-score lead in the second half, take all the time you want. It's fine by me, right? So those are positives, no doubt about it, but you would like to be able to get off the field late in these games. That is the one thing. You talk about a defense able to get off the field without turnovers. They have at times, but they've also, the last two games in particular, seen two offenses that just marched the field numerous times when all they needed was one stop to essentially seal the game, and they haven't been able to do it. That's the next step. That would be my determination there. But we shall see. Now our guys need to jump routes. Jim, from your comment to the football God's ears, my God, yes, please. Just get after the ball. Attack the ball. See ball, get ball. All of it. Andrew, what's up, man? Conjecture on Instagram. Oh, boy. Forgive me. But in what fantasy football world is anyone giving us a third for 13? A third for, I believe you mean Wicks. Also, if I was Watson, I would talk to my dad. If we would have had played Cincy a week later, I don't know if we win. Pack by three. Wow, you really got your money's worth there, Andrew. First of all, yeah, no one's given us a third for Wicks, and they won't trade Wicks regardless. Watson talking to his dad, I don't know about any of that. I've said it a million times. I will reiterate it again. Christian Watson's dad is awesome. I've talked to Zim many times. We've done a couple podcasts together here at Cheesehead TV last year. And he is all in on not only being his son's biggest fan, defender, whatever, but he's not going to take any shit when dealing with it. And I love that. 100 billion percent. As far as Cincy a week later, yeah, we beat him again. Come on now. What are you talking about? Absolutely. 100%. You mean with film? And a chance to get a beat on what they're trying to do? Yeah, 100%. No doubt. But yeah, man, I got no problem with Tazeem going after people regarding his son whatsoever, man. God knows. There was a moment there a couple years ago where people going after Madeline, my oldest daughter, online, and I had to get fucking in the mix, so to speak. It's your kid. You ain't gonna put up shit when it comes to my kid. Neither should he. Soder, Jake, might I suggest not watching special teams plays? Working for me. Yes, Soder famously leaving the room whenever the special teams are on. Not a bad idea. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. I'll see you Sunday for Watch Party. Go Pack, go.